I'll admit that I was a bit torn about whether or not I would create a blog post about this topic or record a podcast episode about the whole should you start a blog in 2020. Then I decided to record an episode because we need to talk about this. Now, first things first, I started blogging really haphazardly in 2012. It's now 2020, it's 8 years of blogging, and it doesn't seem to be letting up anytime soon. At the time that I started, my super vague goal was to share my experiences with personal finance, my problems with money, and I wanted to connect with people out there in the world and maybe help at least one person. Like just create a space where one other person knew that they weren't alone if they were dealing with debt issues, if they were helping out family, if they were just frustrated with what they were trying to do. 8 years later, I have paid off about $60,000 worth of debt. I had a super complicated debt situation. I am almost at the tail end of paying off the unsecured debt. I cannot wait. Like, I cannot even believe it's so close. I'm looking at having the unsecured debt paid off sometime this spring. It just depends on a couple of things, but it will definitely be sometime this spring, and I can't believe it. And then I'll have two other debts left. They're large, but it's very different when you start with like 30 plus debts, right? And now I'm getting down to the wire, and I'm just exhausted. I'm ecstatic, and I'm super focused, which is part of the reason why I ended up taking such a long break at the end of 2019. I was just exhausted from how hard I was pushing throughout the year to deal with that situation. A lot of why I started blogging about money has both changed but is still relevant. And so I wanted to talk about why you should start a blog in 2020 if that's something that's been calling to you, and why other people should stop if they've been blogging and it's not speaking to them anymore. And I also want to share why I like freaking cringe just a little bit when people ask if I just blog. Show affiliate is Elite Blog Academy. I am a proud affiliate of Elite Blog Academy. This comprehensive blogging course goes on sale once a year, typically at the end of February or beginning of March. I think this year it's going to be the beginning of March. EBA students gain access to the following: tools to build up and grow your blogs, content and monetization strategies, all kinds of resources and tools within their closed Facebook group, as well as a lot of connection and contact with Ruth Soukup, who is the creator of that course. Like, she's in there, I think, once or twice a month with office hours, things like that. I love it. If you are excited about starting your own blog, definitely go to the show notes to check out the resource. In order to go to the show notes, you'll go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/should you start a blog. Again, that's michelleismoneyhungry.com/should you start a blog. And again, that EBA resource, you can click on the link to get started with that. You can also get on the wait list to get notified when that course goes on sale. So blogging in 2020, what is the point? Like, why would you bother starting a blog in 2020? And one of the things I'm going to say is starting a blog in 2020 versus 2012, it's a completely different ball game. Like, the purpose of it is, in my view, very different. And one of the really interesting outcomes that I've experienced from having my own website is having the ability to deep dive into any area of interest that I would like to explore. And an example of this would be marketing. In my previous job, one of my biggest goals was to be given the opportunity to market the program that I worked for overseas, because I worked with international students. I worked for an international English center, and marketing that program meant that you had to go where the clients were, which was overseas. And I was actually blocked twice by two different directors because that opportunity for me to market the program overseas would block travel for them. So they saw it as in direct conflict with what they were trying to do. And so I was super pissed. And that was around the time when I started blogging. And I ended up doing all these incredible things because I grew a project outside of work that had no boundaries or limits on what I could do. So point number one of blogging in 2020 would be to develop skills that your current employer might not want to nurture within your current scope of work. For whatever reason, it could be that they just don't understand why you would want to learn those skills, or they want to pigeonhole you in a certain area of focus, or they just don't see the need for you to learn those skills. Whatever it is, it could be that they don't have the energy to train you or have the appropriate person to train you. It doesn't matter. When you start blogging, it's amazing because you have the opportunity to develop skills outside of your work that could actually be used to find other much more lucrative paying jobs. At this point, if I were to want to go back into the regular workforce, I would only look for jobs in tech because I've done so many things with SEO, like search engine optimization and creating communities online and that kind of thing, that would be where I would focus, and I would make a lot more money than when I was working at the university. The other thing is you build your brand. So even though there are moments when I get kind of weird, crazy conspiracy theory about social media and being online where people are given citizenship points, like in China, have you heard about that? Like in China, they have this system that measures you as a good citizen. It's so weird. But that is, kind of what we're doing, right? Like you're online, you're out there, and people are giving you likes or not. It's kind of freaky, but you don't want to go down the rabbit hole with that. Instead, you want to think about how your blog, what is the purpose of your blog in the grand scheme of things in your life? Like why are you creating it? For me, it is to present myself to future clients and even future employers if needed. And you're building a brand. So you are building the brand that you are the solver of a certain problem. You could be building a brand that shows that you're the connector that connects your readers and listeners with specific tools. You're also in the driver's seat in terms of how people perceive who you are and what you do. And so in terms of just building your own personal brand outside of work, it's just a wonderful way to facilitate that. Point number two of blogging in 2020. Again, kind of touched on this with my last point, which is you're in charge of defining who you are and what you do. No one else is. So what I would say, and it's kind of a new thing for me to be touchy about this, but stop calling it just blogging. I'm proud to be a blogger, but I actually really have begun to hate calling what I do blogging because I'm not just blogging. Here's an example of what I currently do with my online focused projects. I run a digital course that facilitates an end goal for students where I help them go from start to finish to write ebooks and make money passively. I create in-person events that cost thousands of dollars to run. So I hosted the Money on the Mountain retreat. It's a financial retreat where basically I invited guests from around the world to attend. And that costs a lot of money, energy, and time to put together. I facilitate roundtable discussions, panels, and sessions at events that I typically fly to. I run two podcasts. I also edit those podcasts. I'm the author of numerous books, both fiction and nonfiction. I'm a content curator, Facebook facilitator. I mentor people, specifically I mentor people in different things such as podcasting, business related stuff. So I do different things, social media marketing, and I'm in mastermind groups. I do email marketing. So that is like just a short list of all the things that I do associated with the blog that I've started. Blogs, plural, because I have two. And I'm sure that there's more that I could add to the list. This list is specific to what I'm personally doing, but many other online creators are also working on video content or a mix of everything that I've just mentioned. You do not have to do all this, but I wanted to make a point that blogging in 2020 isn't just blogging, especially if you are looking to make money with it sooner or later, you're going to end up doing something else, such as creating video content or even creating a podcast or doing both. So just be aware that even though in 2012, you could just have a blog, there has been a natural change, like a synergy, where people now do more than just blogging, which is why I don't just call myself a blogger anymore. I'm a content creator, a digital content creator. Point number three of blogging in 2020, share your expertise and wisdom with your readers and become a go-to resource. Content creation is a huge focus of most businesses, and you could even leverage what you're doing with your blog into helping your current job if they're open to that. Or you can leverage your new skills and get a new job that pays more. Almost every business has social media, websites, email lists. You should be the person who understands the role of all those tools in a business. Know how to quantify sales and don't facilitate these tasks for free. If the business that you work for signals that they're unwilling to pay for you to do these things, find a job that will. What's your motivation? So before the end of 2019, a friend of mine asked a very good question in a Facebook group that basically was the following. With big companies buying out websites, what's the point of creating a personal finance blog? And I felt like this was really relevant, whether you're in the personal finance space, travel, health, wellness, whatever. Online content is most effective, in my view, when connected with a story. So for every large website purchase that we've seen out there, we've also seen a lot of those thriving websites kind of crash and burn because the story is removed from the business a lot of times when the originator of the blog is removed from the blog. And in fact, there's like five different websites I can think of where that's happened in the last couple of years, where the person who created it was like, I'm done, I'm tired. And they were offered a very lucrative amount of money to sell it. They're like, fine. And now that site is effectively dead because the story brand is gone. And I think that this is something that a lot of big businesses forget. Like every business is a story brand. McDonald's is a story brand. And Walmart is a story brand, and Target is a story brand, and Noosa is a story brand. For those of us who are fans of different blogs, products, celebrities, things like that, there's a story behind them. And I think that this is where most people kind of fail to make a connection between like their blog and what they're trying to do. It's their story. So with my blog, my story is I literally was so exhausted by the time I decided to take the leap. I accidentally became slow fire 5 years ago. I didn't even really realize this until like this year. I was like, I've been living a fire lifestyle for 5 years. I actually, because of all the stress that I had been dealing with all my personal finances for so long, I was physically unwell. I had an extreme commute. So when I was commuting to my previous job, they were working on the highway. And that, it took years for the highway to be worked on. So not only were they working on the highway, but like Denver has grown. So the amount of traffic that was on the road was insane. And it was just like my life was falling apart. I was depressed. I had been supporting my mom when I was in graduate school on Starbucks money and student loans. So I'm working this job, supporting my mom on Starbucks money and student loans, right? It takes like a year and a half to finally find a real job. It takes 4 months to get hired onto that job. And then I worked that job for 10 years. Like I loved it until I hated it. And when I hated it, I was in this position where I was like, I can't even quit this job because I have this huge financial mess. But then it came to the point where I was like, I'm going to have a heart attack like every other Black woman out there, and I'm going to die. And all of this was for what reason? I really felt like that. And I actually shared that in my blog story. I now share that in my podcast episodes. What's happening with me now? What the journey? And so I think that a lot of people forget that when you're creating content, whether it's a vlog, podcast, or blog, even though you are, especially if you're trying to make money, you are helping to solve problems that people are dealing with, you also have to share your story. So when my friend asked, what's the point of starting a blog when these big businesses are buying blogs, because it takes a small number of people to become super fans of you. Not only can you affect change in their life, but they can really affect change in yours. Like, it doesn't take a lot of people to make a big difference for my wallet when I'm selling my different products, services, and goods. It doesn't make a big it doesn't take a lot of people to make a big difference to me. Likewise, my one conversation about how it felt to be in debt, or how it felt to have people calling me, and how that felt, that makes a big difference to someone who may not hear that from some person who now is writing for a big website who's never experienced that. Your motivation is to share your story. Share your story. And there are so many opportunities to serve underserved communities or topics of interest that the bigger entities, the bigger organizations don't believe are profitable and won't focus on their content in their brands. So a great example of a person who's really leveraged this is Tiffany the Budgetista Alice. She is amazing, amazing. And who does she serve? She serves Black women who have never been served in personal finance. Not really. Her fans are primarily Black women who need someone out there to talk to them about personal finance, about debt freedom, about savings, about investing. And she's that person because other people ignored us. They did. There's a reason why her brand has grown so much, because no one was listening to us, or no one was out there speaking to us. So if you are a part of a community, out there that you feel is underserved, serve them. If you have a story that you feel like you can share, serve us. Let us know what your story is, because you would be amazed and surprised by how it may resonate with people out there. So FIRE, all those people who are interested in financial independence, retire early. There's not just one kind of FIRE though. Like, I'm slow FIRE. There's people of color who are FIRE. There's single FIRE and dual income, no kids FIRE. Like, there's all these nuances just with FIRE. Then there's debt freedom bloggers. And then there's, and I'm only talking about money. I haven't even touched on lifestyle or parenting or religion or military or van life, or there's so many things out there that you can share from your own personal perspective. And remember, you only need 1,000 fans, really, 1,000 super fans. 1,000 is not that much. Just over 300 million Americans, just in America, right? 1,000 people is a small high school. That's all you need. That's all you need out there. It's 1,000 people. You can do it. So don't sleep on sharing your story. The other thing I want to point out is a very small number of people can become a very lucrative business for you. Here's an example. I kind of worked some numbers. 1,000 products that you've created sold at $25 a product equals $25,000. 500 products sold at $50 equals $12,500. 250 products sold at $100 equals $25,000. 125 products sold at $150 equals $18,750. 75 products sold at $200 equals $15,000. 25 products sold at $250 equals $6,250. Those are some very, very approachable numbers. You can work with that. So point number 4 of blogging in 2020, serve the underserved and make money online. Here are some of the ways that I've made money online that maybe you could do, depending on what's right for you and your brand. Affiliate marketing, event ticket sales, books, course sales, sponsors, freelance writing, podcast sponsors, speaking gigs, coaching. There is something to be said about earning $250 to $1,000 to write a post for a company, or getting a $500 sale notification when your course sells. It's kind of a really super powerful thing, just because you're sharing something that you know and love. There's something powerful about checking in daily to see your book sales that are, you wrote your book months ago and you're still getting paid for it. So I woke up on January 1st, 2020, and I already had money coming in because I had books that were selling, and it was a really cool feeling. By the way, it takes time to build up momentum, and I think that that's the other reason why it's important for me to start this episode, or rather to share this episode right now, is because momentum takes time. People quit. Consistency takes time to build up. You'll have failures, then you have to make adjustments. So that is something to consider as well. Point number five of blogging in 2020, build professional connections outside of your 9-to-5. It takes a while to really like refine your brand and what you're working on and get in the groove. And the longer that you take, like the longer that you wait to start, the longer it takes to build that energy. And those connections, those people out there who want you to succeed are also able to support what you're trying to do and also to help you grow in terms of what you're trying to do. Some final thoughts. I really enjoy being an online content creator. I am so glad that I decided from the beginning to do personal finance and lifestyle related topics. Like I knew that I would get really bored if I was only talking about money. And I felt that it would be better for me to explore different areas of focus. This was a good decision, but it also made things harder on me in the beginning. Now it's very easy to do. Like everything that I've been working on, it's just 10 times easier because I've been working at this for a while. So final answer, should you start a blog in 2020? Yes, you should, because the things that you're working on, the things that you'd like to share, the change that you'd like to create, all of that takes time. It takes time. And I think that that's something that people need to be aware of. And finally, your blog won't just be a blog. The reality is, being a digital content creator in 2020 and beyond, you might start out blogging, but it's very likely that you might end up being interviewed on other people's podcasts, blogs, or blogs. You might end up speaking on different topics. You might end up coaching people. You might collaborate on webinars. Like there's so many things to consider as you get deeper and deeper into this. But if you don't start, there's nothing that I can do. So definitely start your blog. If you've been on the fence and you're wondering what's the point, serve the people out there, share your story. I can't wait to check it out. I actually still read a lot of blog content and I listen to a lot of podcast episodes. So, and I watch vlogs. I'm not doing it all week long, but probably once a week or once every other week, I'll spend quite a bit of time like checking out what people are doing and learning from them, being inspired from them. And I hope that you will become one of those websites, podcasts, or blogs that I add to my rotation.